And we're going to move over now to Caroline, who's going to read to us from Colossians. Thank you, Caroline.
Good morning. So today's reading is from Paul's letter to the Colossians, and that's in the New Testament section of your Bibles. And we're starting from chapter 3 and verse 12. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. And with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everybody. Thanks for that, Sally. Thanks for that lovely prayer. So, as Sally said, we are here on Mothering Sunday, and that marks a year from our very first online service. My memory of that day is Martin holding his mobile phone up while I led the service and preached and played the piano, and he just kind of moved around the whole morning following me. And I can't quite believe, we were just saying, can't quite believe it's been a year, because time's just been so strange, hasn't it, over this past year? And in some ways it feels like it was 100 years ago. And in other ways, it feels like it was only last week. But I thought, because it's a year, it sort of made me stop and think, I suppose, and reflect on this last year. One of the first things I was thinking about is just the shock of a very fast change. Speaking to somebody the other day about how when the first lockdown started, quite a lot of people had strange dreams. And it's because we were kind of trying to process how our world was different. Suddenly we weren't allowed to go into public places as though that was dangerous. And that just seems so odd, because that's just the normal thing to do. How could that be dangerous? But suddenly we weren't allowed to do those things that we took for granted and were so normal. So there was that shock of things changing very quickly. But then I suppose I was thinking about how resilient people are. It's amazing how well people have coped with the amount of change and with the amount of restrictions and all that's happened in the last year. And so I suppose my reflection on that is to say, well done, you know, for us all to say, well done for coping with all that's happened in the last year and for still being here and still keeping going, because it has been really difficult. And it's important to acknowledge that, I think. One of the things I remember from the beginning of the first lockdown was thinking about the phrase, oh, we're all in the same boat, and then quickly realizing we're not. And someone said, we're all in the same water, or we're all in the same storm, or all in the same sea, but actually we're in different boats, because we're all in different situations. And so I think that's an important thing to think about. And so the question I was thinking as I reflected was, well, what have we learnt? What has been the things that we've taken away from this very strange year and this very strange time that we've been living through? And I think the first thing, certainly in terms of reflecting from a sort of church point of view, which is obviously my kind of life and world, is to recognise the value that we have in actually being together. Obviously, it's great that we've got technology and we're still able to connect in some way, but it's not the same as actually being together, is it? As seeing people and being able to be with them. Because faith is not just a belief thing. It's not just something that we think about in our heads and kind of hold to certain doctrines and ideas and ideologies. Faith is a community thing. It's about belonging and sharing. It's about each other. It's about family, the church family. It's about faces and smiles and hugs. And of course, we're missing all of that, aren't we? But actually, in missing it, we recognise the importance of it. It's an opportunity to recognise how important those things are and how central they are to what it means to follow Christ and to be a Christian. The second thing is that, that I've already touched on really, is that there's so much variety and diversity in our experience of this last year. So there's some people who feel like they have had nothing to do and they've been completely bored out of their minds. There's another group of people who have too much to do and they haven't had any space or time. There's a group of people who've had too much time alone and they're desperate to be with other people. There's other people who have been in a house with lots of other people and desperate to have time alone. So there's so much difference, I suppose, in our experience. Thirdly, we've learned how to use technology. You know, we've, for lots of us, I know Sally would say she's been on a massive learning curve in terms of technology, and I have too. I didn't know what Zoom was before a year ago, and now I know my way around Zoom quite well. So we've all been learning this stuff. And there's a lot of people who haven't really been involved in technology before and suddenly have had to learn things. And so that's something that we've learned. I know that Bishop Nick, the Bishop of Leeds, has encouraged us to think about, as we journey out of lockdown and as we reflect on the past year, what have we learned that we need to keep, that we need to keep hold of? I think that's really good that we've learned that. Let's not forget it as we go forward. I think that's a really important question to ask. And similarly, a different question is, what do we need to let go of? Maybe there's some things that we did in our life before lockdown, before COVID, that actually we realise we don't need that stuff. It was kind of not essential and it's time to let that go. Those are big questions, and they're questions that I can't give a quick, easy answer to, but we're invited by the bishop to reflect on that and to think, what do we need to keep that we've learned, but also what do we need to let go of and kind of move on from? I suppose the fourth thing in my reflections has been, what does it mean to live out our faith in this restricted way, in the way that it's been for the last year? One of the things that it's brought up, of course, is that sense of being alone with God. For those who've been on a silent retreat, you'll experience something of this. When everything is stripped away, all the stuff that we kind of have as part of our packaging of faith, you know, going to church or reading certain articles or reading certain books, so suddenly when all that's stripped away and you just ask to be silent with God, it can be quite a terrifying thing. But actually, it can also be a really liberating thing. It can be a thing that really moves us on in our relationship with God. And along with that is that sense of being rather than doing. We live in a society that's very much about doing things and achieving things. It's part of the kind of capitalist world that we live in. And maybe here's an opportunity where we can recognise that actually it's more about being. It's about who we are. It's about being with God, about being a human being rather than a human doing, as they say. And I think that's a really important thing that we can learn from this past year. We've also learned to prioritise the vulnerable. With, you know, right from the beginning, thinking about who is it that's on their own that's going to need a phone call? Who are those people who are going to be the most isolated? Feeding the hungry through Resurrected Bites. And I suppose recognizing that we're all vulnerable. You know, we're all vulnerable and we all need people to look out for us, and we need to look out for each other and ourselves. And that's the final thing, really, is that we need to care for each other and for ourselves. And as I reflected on all of that, I thought, well, that just fits so well with this morning's reading. In the passage this morning, Paul is writing to a group of believers in a place called Colossae. And because they'd sort of gone off track in their practices and their thoughts and their beliefs, and so he's writing to them in the way that Paul does, and says, no, you need to get your eyes fixed back on Jesus, that Christ needs to be their guiding light. And they kind of lost their way a bit. So he writes in the passage that Caroline just read to us, he writes this at verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. And if any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. He is saying, because you are loved by God, you are able to love each other. You are able to love others. So the first question is, do you know that you're loved by God? And that might seem like a real, really sort of Sunday school question, like an obvious thing. You know, Jesus loves me. This I know because the Bible tells me so. But I'm not asking you to tell me the right answer, that when the vicar asks you the question, this is what you should say. I mean, deep down, do you know that God loves you? And it may be that if you're honest right now, you don't feel that God loves you. Or maybe, if you're honest, you might have never felt that. And it is best to be honest about this. Knowing that God loves you is not just about feelings, though. So life is tough, particularly at the moment. And so you may not feel God's love, but knowing it is a deeper knowing. It's not just about feeling it, it's about knowing it. So you may be thinking, well, I may not feel it in my emotions right now, but I know it to be true. I know that there's a bigger truth than my changing emotions and circumstances. And I can look to the cross and I can see a clear indication of God's love for me. I can look at the blessings in my life, the big things and the small things, and I can see that God loves me. I can look at the Bible and I can see that God loves me. Sometimes what we need is a bigger frame. So our starting point is to look at that bigger frame, that bigger picture. If we focus on a problem, on pain or suffering, if we focus on lockdown right now, things can seem really bleak. And if we're caught up in our thoughts and our feelings, we can get stuck in them. And we sometimes have those words like should and shouldn't. I shouldn't be feeling like this. But actually, when it comes to feelings, shoulds and shouldn'ts are really unhelpful, because feelings just come. There's no point judging them. Judging them doesn't get rid of them or deal with them. And actually, that narrow focus on the negative can be really unhelpful. So we need a bigger frame, a bigger picture, to see that what is going on right now is just a moment, and there's a bigger picture to everything. There's a bigger picture in the world that's full of good people doing their best. And we don't see that on our news screens and our newspapers. But it's true, out there, the people, if you think about the people you know and you love, they are good people doing their best. Small acts and big acts of kindness and love. And this brings us back to Paul's words in Colossians 3:12, knowing that we are loved by God. See, the big picture is that God made us and loves us. And you may not feel that right now in the small frame of what you're going through, but in that bigger frame of the global church, of the whole of the Bible, of the eternal Christ, in that bigger picture, know that you are loved. And from here, from this knowing, Paul goes on, verse 12, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you have a grievance against someone. So Paul gives us a strategy for how to live for God day by day. Over the past few years, we've been on a journey as a church, thinking about how we are church, both when we're gathered and when we're scattered. You might remember these dot images. And on one side, there's the gathered church, those little dots in the corner. And then on the other side, you see the dots spread out all over the place. And the idea is that when we're gathered for church on a Sunday, we're gathered together, but actually we live most of our life out in the world, interacting with people who don't go to church and who don't know Jesus. Now, obviously, our gathered church has changed a lot in the last year. And we still gather, but we gather online on Sundays mainly, and in small groups on Zoom during the week. But also for most of us, our scattered life has changed too. So some are working from home, where in the past they'd be working with colleagues in offices and workplaces. For others, they're at work physically, but work has changed because of COVID. Everything's different. Some are juggling both online work and in-person work. And then meanwhile, for others, those who perhaps aren't in paid employment, their volunteer work, the place where they were during the week where they're interacting with people, that has had to stop. Or the social spaces that they normally meet people in, cafes and libraries, at lunch club, that's stopped too. So both our gathered and our scattered places have changed for us as a church. However, Paul's advice here doesn't depend on being in a church building or in a workplace or in a social space. Paul's strategy can apply to life in lockdown as much as it does to life on our front lines or life online. And this is what Paul says to us. This is his advice. Firstly, he says, imitate Christ. Be compassionate, kind, humble, and patient. In other words, be like Jesus. Show the kind of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience that Jesus showed to people. That seems like a tall order, doesn't it? It's easier said than done. It can be really hard to show compassion and kindness, particularly if what we're feeling is anger and hurt. And again, we need to be honest about these things. Being a follower of Jesus and a follower of Christ is not about pretending that we're all kindness and joy and smiles when inside we're feeling twisted and dark. That's not going to be good for us. That's really unhealthy. So we need to be honest about what we're feeling. But what I love about the cross and the resurrection is that in that story, our central story of our faith, we have both pain and suffering that we see in the cross, but also hope and joy that we see in the resurrection. We have a faith that has space for both things. It's a bit like at a funeral. Sometimes families will say to me, we really want the service to be a Thanksgiving service. And that's great because, of course, we do want to thank God for that person's life. But we also need to recognize that within a funeral service, there's going to be grief and mourning. And you kind of need both, because there would be no Thanksgiving if there wasn't any grief. And there would be no grief if you weren't thankful for that person's life. So the life of faith in Jesus and the resurrection and the cross is such a gift to us, because we can acknowledge the pain that we feel, but recognize that also that that leads to the attitude that Paul is telling us to imitate in Christ. Because as we're honest about the pain that we face and that we might see others going through, the difficult parts of life for ourselves and others, then we're able to have true compassion. Apparently, the word compassion literally means to suffer with. That's kind of the root of the word. So it's to be with people, beside someone as they suffer. And of course, this is who God is. God isn't looking down on us from above as we suffer. Our God suffers with us. That's the whole point of Jesus coming to earth as God incarnate, is that he suffers with us. And we're called to do the same. This way of living and loving others ensures that we are humble and kind and patient, because we know what it is to suffer. So compassion, kindness, humility, patience, all these things that Paul is advocating us to have, they flow out of knowing suffering for ourselves and journeying alongside others who suffer. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that Paul says that we are to let love be our guide. Let love be our guide. Verse 14, over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Love is the greatest thing that we have. In fact, the Bible tells us that God is love. And really, that's as profound as theology can get. You know, I remember spending 3 years at Durham University studying theology, and you can go down all these different avenues and read all these different books and have all these different debates. But the most profound, wonderful understanding of God, which is basically what theology is that God is love, those three words. If you ever need to check your actions or your values against something, ask yourself, what would be the loving thing to do in this situation? If you want to be more like God, then love more. Paul says love binds all these virtues together. So love includes compassion, which is suffering with. Love includes kindness. Love includes humility. Love includes patience. All these virtues are about love. So what we need to remember, if we want this love to go out to others, is that we also need to go into ourselves. And that can be really tricky for some people. At the moment, self-care is a bit of a buzzword. It's kind of trendy at the moment. You might be hearing it a lot. But actually, for Jesus, that's always been central. When Jesus is asked, what's the most important thing? He says, you need to love God. You need to love others as you love yourselves. So we need to show love to ourselves and care for ourselves if we want to be able to love and care for others. Because without self-care, we just end up exhausted and burned out. And that's no kind of witness, is it? We're saying to people, oh, this is what it means to be a Christian. You're exhausted and grumpy and burned out. We have to care for ourselves so that we can care for others. So as we come to this marker of a year of living with COVID and living in lockdown, as we look back and reflect where we've seen God at work, it's about looking at where have we seen love? For God is love. Where have we seen and experienced love in action? One of my favourite Bible verses is Galatians 5, verse 6. In fact, I've got it here on a big thing that I have in my office. Oh, there you go. It's my favourite verse, and it says this: the only thing that matters is faith expressing itself through love. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. So it's not saying that faith is the most important thing, as in you need to have thoughts about God that are correct. And if they're not correct, then you're not in the gang. It's about saying the most important thing is that this faith that you have shows itself as actual action. You actually treat people differently and treat yourself differently. That's what's important. Now, mothering is an obvious example of love in action. As we come to Mothering Sunday, we recognize that mothering provides care, protection, love, space to learn and space to grow. In fact, good mothering is all the things that Paul mentions in this passage. Being a good mother is about having compassion and kindness, humility, gentleness and patience, and above all, love. So whatever the next year holds, these virtues and values are our guiding principles. They are who Jesus is, and they're how Jesus works through us, his followers. So whether we're stuck at home in lockdown, whether we're working in challenging circumstances in our front lines, or working out how we can get back together in buildings as our gathered church, whatever we do, it's all about Jesus, and it's all about love. Amen.